Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 68 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Knowing that we're going to be fine and we're going to push on.
Moorhead State University is prepared for hard economic times.
Rowan and Bracken County Boards of Education are looking to the 2018-2019 school year.
A funding request from the Boyd County Detention Center seemed to fall on deaf ears Tuesday.
Prosecutors are seeking to dismiss rape charges against a former University of Kentucky board chairman.
A House committee has passed a bill that would mean tougher penalties for those who attack first responders.
In sports, the Moorhead State men's basketball team begins a two-game road trip tomorrow.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 50 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Officials at Moorhead State are relying on the university's resiliency during uncertain economic times. MSU President Dr. J. Morgan addressed faculty and staff during today's spring convocation. Morgan says even with a bleak outlook in Frankfort concerning the state pension and performance-based funding, MSU has a lot to appreciate.
We've got great people. We've got great students. We've got good progress going on here in a lot of areas. And my hopes here today are really to paint a picture for you as we spend just a couple of minutes walking through where MSU is currently. And I think as you look at that picture, you'll see that we continue to be a strong university.
Morgan asked the faculty and staff to keep a positive attitude and to focus on the success of MSU students as the spring semester begins next week.
Among the things on the to-do list at tonight's special Rowan County School Board meeting will be the appointment of a school calendar committee. The group's job will be to examine the district's 2018 to 2019 academic calendar and recommend possible changes to it. Where Rowan schools generally start classes in early to mid-August, some Kentucky lawmakers have suggested passing legislation that would mandate that the state's public school open no earlier than late August. Rowan Superintendent Marvin Moore likes his district's current calendar and doesn't believe it's a matter for the state to decide.
I basically think it should be left up to individual districts and not restrict them to the point that, you just take an example, East Kentucky, when they have snow or ice or bad weather up there, it takes them several days to get back in. And those kind of things should be left up to the individual districts to make those decisions.
Some state legislatures insist the early August start to school hurts Kentucky's tourism industry and hampers students who need summer jobs.
The Moorhead City Council has given the initial go-ahead to increase the town's insurance premium tax. If the measure gets final passage next month, companies selling insurance in the city will see that fee increase from 5% to 7.5%. Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the city has to make up for hundreds of thousands of dollars in revenue that it will lose this year. For instance, it will no longer share occupational tax revenue with Rowan County that comes from the Sealmaster and Guardian factories.
As a incentive for us helping bring them here, the county and the city entered into an interlocal agreement where we would split those occupational taxes. Well, that time period initially agreed upon is now up, so we won't be able to split those moving forward.
Trent notes Moorhead will also lose further occupational tax revenue because the Rowan campus of Maysville Community and Technical College has moved into its new building in the MMRC Industrial Park, which is outside city limits. He adds the city is also looking at a $340,000 increase to its contributions to the pension of its employees.
Officials from the Southeast Kentucky Economic Development Corporation will be spending part of their Thursday in downtown Moorhead. From noon until 3, they'll be hosting the first of four seminars for small and mid-sized businesses called Smarts 2.0 at the Innovation Launchpad on Main Street. SEKY Executive Director Brett Traver says the events will teach them how to best use social media and online sources to market their goods and services.
We try to cover that over a 12-hour period. It's 3 hours a session. Our class is full in Moorhead, actually more than full. We bring 10 laptops to the training for the people to work on and do the things they need to do with our instruction. And we've got 14 registered, so we have some folks bringing their own laptops, and we're really, really pretty full.
Travers says further Smarts 2.0 seminars will be held in Moorhead if there is a demand for them. For more information, call SEKY at 606-677-6100.
Bracken County is discussing budgets for the next academic year. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the details.
The Bracken County Board of Education met on Monday to talk about a budget draft for the 2018-2019 school year. According to the Maysville Ledger, the board expects to have a little more than $12,495,000 in revenue, with expenditures about $10,000 less than that. The current 2017-2018 budget includes $13.9 million in revenue, with expenditures equaling the same. Superintendent Jeff Aulick says the budget numbers are down for the coming academic year because there are less students in the district. Aulick also says that the budget draft is subject to change. This is Cody Robinson with WMKY News.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio, serving Moorhead and surrounding communities with WIVY at 96.3 FM. All the programming of WIVY, music, news, and Moorhead State University football and basketball are available worldwide on WIVYradio.com. Apps available for both your Apple and Android devices. WIVY proudly supports Moorhead State University and Moorhead State Public Radio.
A funding request from the Boyd County Jail would likely be impossible to make happen this fiscal year. That's according to Judge Executive Steve Taller. According to the Ashland Daily Independent, the Boyd County Fiscal Court will take a hard look at the request, but finding the funds will be a challenge. Jail administrators have asked for 11 more deputy jailers and a pay increase for all current employees. The increase in staffing would cost the county about $600,000 annually. The detention center's management has been under scrutiny in recent months following jailbreaks, inmate overdoses, and a riot. The funding request did not receive any support from the fiscal court during yesterday's meeting.
A woman unexpectedly survived what could have been a deadly crash on Tuesday. WSAZ reports the accident occurred on the west side of the West Virginia border in Kentucky on I-64 East. The driver says she took her eyes off the road for just a second, and when she looked back, she crashed into a semi-truck. The woman was taken to the hospital, but remarkably only suffered minor scratches.
Lexington police are looking for the suspects in connection with a Tuesday afternoon shooting. WKYT reports the shooting near Daniel Court left one person with serious injuries. Police say three people were in a vehicle when two others began firing shots into the car. The victim was taken to the hospital with critical but non-life-threatening injuries.
Lardon County deputies arrested two men after finding them unconscious in a vehicle. WYMT reports the driver, David DeLong of Louisa, had the key in the ignition, foot on the brake, the car in drive, and the headlights on, but he was unconscious. His passenger, Kenneth DeLong, was also passed out. David DeLong was charged with DUI and other traffic violations, while Kenneth DeLong was charged with public intoxication.
Prosecutors are seeking to dismiss rape and sodomy charges against a former University of Kentucky board chairman. Prosecutors filed a motion Monday in Davis Circuit Court to dismiss the indictment against 78-year-old Billy Joe Miles. Miles was indicted in September 2016 on the charges, which also included bribery of a witness, for allegedly assaulting a health care worker at his home. The trial had been scheduled to begin January 16th. Assistant Attorneys General John Heck and Barbara Maines Whaley filed an affidavit saying the alleged victim's attorneys told prosecutors she no longer wished to proceed in the criminal case because of her fragile psychological condition. In the affidavit, a prosecutor said the woman made the decision after learning she would have to be questioned about threats she claimed to have received after the charges were filed.
Thousands of customers of the Martin County Water District are experiencing temporary shortages. EKB News reports the county's reservoir has begun freezing during the last bout of winter weather, which caused a water shortage in the storage tanks. Joe Hammond is with the Martin County Water District. He says water pressure decreased dramatically when temperatures dropped below zero.
The ground is freezing. The water is freezing. Customers are letting their water run to keep from freezing up at home. And it drains the tanks that we have.
Because of the low pressure, there is a boil water advisory in Martin County until further notice. In addition, the utility announced yesterday it will shut off water lines every afternoon at 3 and reopen them at 5 every morning.
The Kentucky House Committee has approved legislation that would toughen the penalty for people who attempt to murder a police officer or firefighter. The measure would require them to serve at least 85% of their sentence before being eligible for probation or parole. Pendleton County Sheriff Craig Peoples says the measure is necessary.
We believe this bill is important for law enforcement across the Commonwealth. Due to the day and age of the attacks that we're getting from citizens or criminals across the state, law enforcement being attacked, ambushed at gas stations and things of that.
Several police officers and firefighters testified on behalf of the bill, which received unanimous approval from the House Judiciary Committee and now goes to the full House.
A proposed victim bill of rights is gaining widespread support in Frankfort. Marcy's Law is set to go before the Senate today. Supporters say too often crime victims have little input in the judicial system until after a conviction and then only at a sentencing hearing. Rebecca DiLoretto is opposed to the law. She says Marcy's Law has hidden purposes.
The design behind the Marcy's Law movement is that the goal is to make it easier to win a conviction, easier to do it quickly, with more severe punishment.
If passed, Marcy's Law gives crime victims rights to judicial information, court dates, and even representation within the court system.
One day after resigning as Kentucky Speaker of the House, Jeff Hoover said he is keeping his House seat and plans to run for re-election. Though he hasn't yet filed the paperwork, Hoover said yesterday he intends to run this year. Although he resigned from his leadership post following accusations of sexual harassment, he remains a House member. Governor Matt Bevin weighed in on WHAS radio, saying he applauds Hoover for stepping down, but still calls for lawmakers who had settled sexual harassment cases to resign.
People who are electing people in Frankfort expect people not to be engaging in inappropriate sexual manners with their employees and then paying them money to keep it hidden. I think that's pretty straightforward. I think pretty much 99 out of 100 people in Kentucky would agree that that's not appropriate.
Bevin says it is up to Hoover's district to decide if his resignation as speaker, not as representative, is good enough. Taking a look at the weather tonight, partly cloudy skies, areas of fog with some patchy drizzle, low of 48. Thursday, cloudy with occasional showers for the afternoon, highs around 65 degrees, chance of rain at 50%. Thursday night, showers early, becoming a steady light rain late, low of 52, chance of rain at 70%. Friday, periods of rain, thunder is possible early, morning high of 54 with temps falling to near 40 degrees, chance of rain at 100%. Looking at the listening area temperatures, Ashland 67 degrees, Winchester 66 degrees, Inez 67 degrees, in Flemingsburg and Maysville it's 65 degrees, Lexington 64 degrees, and in Moorhead it is currently 68 degrees.
On our feature segment today, the Kentucky Department of Agriculture's hemp program continues to grow, and Moorhead State's Agriculture Department has an acre of its own. WMKY's Jacob Lindbergh has the story.
The KDA approved 225 applications for growers to cultivate up to 12,000 acres of industrial hemp for research in 2018. MSU's Agriculture Department planted its first crop last June and has renewed its license for another year of study. Brent Rogers is a professor of agriculture. He says hemp has become a fashionable crop.
You can find various hemp health-related products. You can find various hemp fabrics and various other products. And it's become really something that the Kentucky Department of Agriculture has promoted to essentially try to replace tobacco.
Rogers says if hemp becomes commercially viable, it could open the market for farmers.
If you look back at the long-term history of it, Kentucky was the leading hemp-growing state 150 years ago.
Rogers says Moorhead State's crop helps keep the program and its students up to date with research.
And showing students, you know, as a demonstration that this is something that could have potential if it becomes fully legalized. Of course, at the present, it's not fully legal and it's only grown under permit through the Kentucky Department of Agriculture.
He says the legalization of commercial hemp may depend on the next few years of national politics. Hemp is currently on the federal list of controlled substances.
And I mean, hemp and marijuana are the same plant. The difference is the amount of the THC that the plants have. Marijuana is a high THC, hemp is a low THC, and the state requires that our plants be under 0.3% THC to maintain them as an industrial hemp.
As for Morehead State's crop, Rogers says the Agriculture Department will focus on pesticide research.
We didn't have real good luck with it this year because of disease problems. We hope to do better with it this time. But what we're doing is a study evaluating nitrogen fertility requirements and the possibility of getting some pesticides licensed for use on it to reduce problems.
KDA-approved growers cultivated 33 acres of hemp in 2014. In 2017, MSU's harvest was one of over 3,200 in the state. More information can be found at kyagr.com/hemp. For WMKY News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
It's 4:46 and 68 degrees on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Chaz Jenkins, and we are so glad that you've joined us on this balmy Wednesday afternoon. Sean Delaney has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Morehead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, video tapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
On the road again. Good day to you. This is WMKY Sports. I'm Sean Delaney. The Morehead State Basketball Eagles begin a two-game OVC road trip tomorrow night at 8:30 at Southeast Missouri State. Even though MSU is 0-4 in conference, junior guard A.J. Hicks says his team has no quit in it, and the Eagles believe they can start turning their season around at SEMO.
We're going to play hard, get ready for this win, regroup, keep the mindset we have. I mean, we're a young team. It's just a process. We're just trying to keep it together, keep telling the guys it's going to click when it's time. So just got to keep playing hard day in, day out.
MSU has won 14 of its last 15 games against Southeast Missouri. The 7-9 Red Hawks are coming off of a 5-loss last weekend at Austin Peay. The MSU women are also visiting Southeast Missouri tomorrow evening. That game tips off at 6:15. Coach Greg Todd says the big key for the Eagles will be getting back on defense against the athletic and high-scoring Red Hawks.
Their transition offense is probably the best in the league, and our transition defense, I don't know if it's the worst in the league, but it hasn't been good. And so you put those two combinations together. Last year we were fortunate to go there and get a win, but they hurt us with how quick their posts run the floor.
Both the MSU and SEMO women are 2-2 in OVC play. Fresh off last night's 5-point home win over Menifee County, the Rowan County boys basketball team hits the road tonight. The 9-5 Vikings will play Fleming County at 7:30. Coach Sean Thacker admits the Panthers' 2-13 record is surprising, but he notes they've been hurt by key injuries and roster defections.
You know, they felt like they were going to be a top two or three team in our region, and, I agree with that. At the end of last year, I would have thought the same thing. And, you know, sometimes you make out a schedule and injuries or, you know, something happens and all of a sudden you don't have that same squad that you thought you were going to have. And you got to go through the tall timber.
Fleming's lost four straight and dropped a 70-58 decision at Mason County last night. Louisville basketball team plays tonight. The 11-4 Cardinals have an ACC game at 9 o'clock at number 23 Florida State. Interim coach David Padgett admits that beating the frenetic Seminoles in Tallahassee will not be an easy feat.
a team with a style like theirs is going to be amped up even more at home because they have the crowd in their favor. You know, not to say that they're not a good road team, because obviously they are. I mean, they're top 25 in the country. But, you know, anytime you force turnovers like they do, you get the crowd into the game. They can score in bunches. Obviously, they shoot the ball well from three. So, you know, there's a lot of things they do well.
The last time the Cards visited Florida State was last January, when they came away with a 73-68 loss. Other NCAA men's basketball games tonight. Number 7 Duke is visiting unranked Pittsburgh at 7. Unranked Rutgers is traveling to take on number 4 Michigan State at 7. Number 16 TCU visits unranked Texas at 9. And in tonight's top match, the number 10 Xavier Musketeers are in Philadelphia tonight to take on first-ranked Villanova. That game is slated for 8 o'clock. Cleveland Cavaliers guard Isaiah Thomas has been fined $20,000 by the NBA for striking Minnesota Timberwolves forward Andrew Wiggins in the throat. The punishment was announced Wednesday by the league's executive vice president for basketball operations. The incident occurred in the third quarter of the Cavaliers' 127-99 loss to the Timberwolves Monday night in Minneapolis. Thomas clotheslined Wiggins in the jaw as he drove into the basket. He was ejected for a flagrant 2 foul. He said afterward it was an accident and that he was glad Wiggins was all right, saying the goal remains taking the Cincinnati Bengals to the Super Bowl. Coach Marvin Lewis is already looking forward to his 16th year at the team's helm. Lewis says while he hopes to lead the Bengals in that direction, the burden of making it happen is on the players.
We've got to be better, and frankly, I left that upon our players before they left, that regardless was who's standing in front of them, to begin the 2018 season, they had to understand they had to roll up their sleeves and they had to go to work and they had to be better and they had to figure out how to win close games, how to take advantage of every opportunity.
Even though the Bengals missed the playoffs for a second straight season, Lewis was recently given a 2-year contract by owner Mike Brown. And finally in sports this afternoon, the Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver A.J. Green is dropping out of this year's Pro Bowl. According to the Cincinnati Inquirer, Green cited an unspecified injury as the reason for opting out. He's the only receiver in NFL history to be voted into the Pro Bowl 7 straight times. Indianapolis Colts receiver T.Y. Hilton was named as Green's replacement. And that's it for sports for WMKY. I'm Sean Delaney.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball will host Jacksonville State on Thursday, January 18th. The women's game starts at 4 o'clock p.m., and the men tip off at 7 o'clock p.m. The men's game will also be televised by the CBS Sports Network. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell as investors fretted on the possibility of China halting its treasury bond purchases, as well as the U.S. pulling out of NAFTA. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 16.67 at 25,369.13. The S&P 500 was down 3.06 for its first loss of 2018, finishing at 2748.23, and likewise, the NASDAQ had its first loss for 2018, finishing down 10.01 at 7153.57. Utilities and real estate were the two worst-performing sectors in the index, and of course, both are interest-sensitive. And it was reported earlier that Chinese officials think U.S. debt is becoming less attractive compared to other assets, and that trade tensions between the two countries could provide a reason to slow down or halt purchases of treasury bonds. Shares of General Motors today fell nearly 2.5% on the back of a report that President Trump is increasingly likely to pull the U.S. out of NAFTA, and Canadian stocks fell broadly too. And according to this report, Canadian officials are increasingly convinced that Trump will pull the U.S. out of the agreement. In corporate news, Eastman Kodak shares surged 57.4% after the company said it has used blockchain, which is the underlying technology for popular cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, to create a digital photography platform called Kodak Coin. And Signet Jewelers was among the worst performing stocks today, falling almost 7% after their holiday same-store sales fell short of estimates. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.75%, finishing at $63.42 a barrel. Gold was up 0.38% at $1,318.40 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were weak as the Stock 600 index was down 0.4%. In Asia, stocks were mixed as the Nikkei was down 0.25% and the Shanghai index was up 0.25%. And among Dow stocks, the best performers were GE and JP Morgan. Your worst performing Dow stocks were Intel and Dow DuPont. In the S&P 500, the best performers were United Continental and Intuitive Surgical, and the worst S&P 500 performers were Signet Jewelers and eBay. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 50 cents at 72.29, CSX down 78 cents at 58.48, AK Steel up 34 cents at 6.43, AEP down $1.10 at 69.48, Marathon Petroleum up 53 cents at 69.53, and Anthem was down 77 cents at 233.89. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 30 years. The Center for Gifted Studies is now accepting applications for middle and high school summer camps, including the 35th Annual Advanced Placement Summer Institute, June 25th through 29th. More information at 270-745-6323 or online at wku.edu/gifted.
Looking at the weather tonight, partly cloudy skies, areas of fog with some patchy drizzle, low of 48 degrees. Thursday cloudy with occasional showers for the afternoon, highs around 65, chance of rain at 50%. Thursday night showers early, becoming a steady light rain late, low of 52, chance of rain at 70%. Friday, periods of rain, Thursday, thunder is possible early, morning high of 54 with temps falling to near 40 degrees, chance of rain at 100%. It's currently 68 degrees in Moorhead.
Taking a look at some events that are going to be happening in your region, now on display at the Rowan County Arts Center is a photography exhibit entitled The Shape of Things by James Knoll. On display through January 12th, the exhibit features objects found in everyday life. The Rowan County Arts Center is open Mondays through Fridays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The exhibit is free and open to the public.
The Allegro Dance Project will feature contemporary dance, circus arts, and live music at the Lyric Theater in Lexington at 7 o'clock p.m. on Saturday, January 13th. Reserved seats are priced from $15 to $20. Proceeds from the event will support the Allegro Dance Project's outreach programs.
Murder at the Opry, an interactive murder mystery dinner, will be presented by the Paramount Players at the Paramount Arts Center in Ashland on Friday, January 26th. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. and the show begins at 7. Tickets are priced at $40 and reservations are required by calling 606-324-0007. Proceeds from the event support the Paramount Players. There are courses to teach us how to save someone who's drowning, choking, or having a heart attack. With drug addiction becoming a national crisis, there is now a class to teach you how to save someone from an overdose. WUKY's Karen Czar reports.
The Lexington Bay County Health Department will be giving away free Narcan kits and hosting a community training class to teach you how to use it. Spokesman Kevin Hall says this isn't just for anyone who uses or knows someone who uses opioids.
We're also seeing a lot of people who are coming in because, hey, my brother uses, or I know somebody else in my family who could use this. Also heard from several people who just come in because they want to. One person came in and said, I don't know anybody who uses drugs, but I want to make sure I have this just in case. I would feel awful if I were walking in a park, saw somebody overdosed and couldn't help them. We've had Uber drivers, taxi drivers, fast food workers come in and say, we see this all the time where people need this. I want to have it on me in case I'm called to action.
The class is Tuesday, January 23rd from 5 to 6 at the Fayette County Health Department on Newtown Pike. It's free and open to the public. Reporting from Lexington, I'm Karen Czar.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Jacob Lindberg, Ellen Barnett, Sean Delaney, Cody Robinson, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. WUKY's Karen Czar and Hilliard Lyons Bud Luke pitched in. Our feature segment was WMKY's own Jacob Lindberg. This is Moorhead State Public Radio. WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BHINETS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.